Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to JD's Man Cave. As soon as JD and the co-host come out of mute, we're going to get into this fantastic show tonight and just really talk about what's going on location. We did a scholarship fundraiser today over at Ideal Barber Shop, and I know that the guys had a good time. So we're just waiting for them to unmute the phone and go ahead and get into the show tonight.
Every day I be lifting this name. Wake up the next day and I'm doing the same. 24/7, 365 for the rest of my life. Why you standing there looking at me like I done lost my mind? Cause I carry a radical praise only hard to find. Spreading it hood from hood to all mankind. 1 hour on a shot clock cause we're running out. Christ at any cost. I need Jesus like I need dinner. What you waiting for? Every day I be listening.
Hello? Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave. We're live on location here at Ideal Barbershop at 7805 Cullen Boulevard here in Houston, Texas. And we've had a pleasant day here today. We were able to reach out and bless a young man who's getting ready to head to Blinn Junior College and be a basketball star for him. So we're just happy to be able to get together as black men and work together and get a goal achieved for this young man, because we reward foolishness all the time in our communities. We need to start rewarding kids who are doing the right thing. So that's why we're out here. We're out here at Ideal Barbershop, which is, like I said, located right here in the heart of Sunnyside, South Park, Texas. And I got my crew here, man. I got the owner of Ideal Barbershop standing in tonight because Steve Bobino is not going to be with us. So we have Mr. Saron Ward that's going to be standing in. And like I said, he's the owner and proprietor of this establishment. So he'll be chiming in here and there. But right now, I have the regular Man Cave crew with me. Go ahead and check in, fellas. Hey, we got Big Red Joe.
What's up?
We got Reverend KJ.
Yeah.
We got our resident country boy, Ken Wayne here.
Howdy, folks.
And, of course, you got me, JD the Barber here. And we got Mr. Saron Ward standing in with us tonight. And like I said, we have a few topics that we'd like to talk about. But first, I want to have the young man who we had the fundraiser for say a couple of words and just talk about his expectations and how he feels about heading to college. So go ahead and give us a little word, little Ron, about how you feel and how you think college is going to be for you. What you expect?
I'm just gonna stay focused, do my work, make sure I'm doing my work first. That's gonna be the most important. Then,
right.
Then basketball will come second.
Okay.
I'm still gonna be checking up on my family, checking up on people who give.
Amen. But yeah, that's good, man. We you know, like I said, we are expecting great things out of you, and you should be expecting great things out of yourself because. So far, you've done everything right. No need to get to college and mess it up. So just keep on the same straight and narrow and follow what's been getting you where you've gotten so far. So, Reggie, we're going to let you start off with tonight's first topic, and let's see what we're talking about.
Well, last week we was talking about suicide.
Yeah.
Last week we was talking about suicide, so I guess we can take you on
Teen suicide.
You know, anytime you're feeling depressed, you know, there's always somebody you feel, you know, there's got to be somebody you can talk to. Whether it's your friend, your pastor, your mama, your daddy, cousins, brothers or sisters. You know, it's too young to be thinking about taking your life. You got your whole life ahead of you. Nothing is that bad, you know, to make you want to just end your life.
Well, I look at it like this, Rich. I've always said suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah.
Because once you do it, it's over. There ain't no coming back. You know, ain't no oops, do-overs. And hey, you don't get that?
Yeah.
Ain't no do-overs.
They're going to miss you on your birthday.
Exactly. That's it. Hey, look here.
And after a while, they
that's going to fade away then, too. But see, the thing about it is we have so many kids nowadays who deal with problems that they have no business having to deal with. And they are put in circumstances that they should not be put in at early ages. So they make decisions like this out of the fact that they had to grow up too fast a lot of times. And like you say, they have nobody to talk to, nobody to confide in. They feel like their lives is over. I mean, then you got those that aspect of the bullying and social media aspect that ties into a lot of this. So I just really don't understand bullying and social media bullying. We shot the dozens all the time in school. And we got talked about and came back. You know, you have to be a little stiffer in the game than what these kids are nowadays. But that's because a lot of kids are
coddled by their parents, you know, treated like little kids, you know, not toughening them up, not teaching them the real life aspects of life. They want to raise their kids with sugar cream and beauty. Bro, my dad let me know, hey, man, the world ain't going to tell nothing about you.
Yeah.
You better get yourself together. So how you feel about that, KJ? What you think?
Well, first of all, I want to take a moment. Once again, I've known Saron Sr. for a minute. I would see his son around here a few times back in the gap, but I would come up here and see y'all.
Right.
And my man to another brother, man, you've done a phenomenal job with this young man, bro. I can tell by the way he carries himself, the way he presents himself, the way he conducts himself, and that's an extension of you as a father. So
right.
One of those to another brother, I salute you, young man, make you obviously seem like you got your head on for your shoulders, right? And remember these four faces right here. Whether it be something monetary or just some advice or whatever, man, by all means, if we feel compelled to reach out to one of them, do so.
Exactly.
Back to the topic that you was talking about.
Right.
I think one of the things that kids nowadays are at a disadvantage at, if all of us were in high school together, me, you, Richard, and Kenny,
right,
we all ran together, and I got into a fight with somebody,
right,
and he beat my tail.
Right.
For us back then, win, lose, or draw, it was over. Like, we may fight again at some point.
Right.
For the most part, it never escalated past that point.
After you get your Rocky Balboa on, yeah, you come back.
Nowadays, if a kid get his butt whooped,
yeah, exactly.
Everybody's doing this.
Right.
Now it's all over social media.
Right.
Now it's all over the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Now it's on all y'all's circle of friends' cell phones. And everybody, not just at Joseph, not just at Yates, but at Jones, at Madison, at Sterling, they all talking about it. So this kid that got his butt embarrassed has to relive this experience over and over and over. And honestly, just kind of a spade of spade. I don't think, for the most part, and there are some exceptions.
Right.
But I don't think kids, for the most part, nowadays, are as rigid and as stiff as we were back then.
Right. Well, you know, kids are catering their lifestyles to how many likes you can get on Instagram, how many likes you can get on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't worry about who likes me. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't like me, that's cool. I got somebody down the street I can go down there
and
play with or kick it with. You know what I'm saying? But nowadays, these kids literally put up posts, and if those so many people like it, they'll take it back down, and they feel heartbroken. I'm like, what?
You know, I would like to say, man, I ain't going to be your friend if you don't do something.
Right.
You do.
Come on. I am cool.
Yeah.
That's how it was, man. But like you say,
but I think
the
reason why I was the suicide stuff, even though we were still, we had one thing with kids,
Even though we did what we did,
we took that to a certain level.
Right.
You know, nowadays, if you beat up kids, you sit down and gonna have them on videotape of fun. Two of you gonna come back and try to find a kid.
Right.
Them and a friend, they're gonna try to get back at you when you stop and play up. Then they take the trip. They don't realize that your parents taking the trip with you.
Right.
So
you're
not just harming yourself.
Yeah, you're harming your entire family. Let me tell you
something.
And
then I
guarantee
them to make
it back
from that shit.
That's right.
And it's funny what you say, Ken Wayne. Let me tell you something. I see some of these young kids, and I don't say nothing to them, bro, because I look at you and tell you're a serial killer. And your mama done raised a serial killer and don't know it. You would be surprised how many parents are raising kids that they scared of. And my daddy told me this a long time ago. He said, I ain't feeding nothing I'm scared of. So I was like, okay, well, I got to get my plate. So ain't no sense in me acting like I'm bad in this house. My daddy told me, he said, man, I ain't feeding. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that word. But I ain't feeding nothing that I'm scared of. That includes you, the dog, and everything else around this house.
So I'm trying to see what my dad is.
But I was like, okay, well, I understand what you're saying.
I know we all followed Vince Young when he was Madison, ultimately UT, and Rose or whatever.
I think that's his cousin right there. His first cousin.
Oh, yeah?
Yo, Vince used to be in here all the time.
I met when I was in Justin Free unit. Vince Young's dad was over there with me. He looked exactly like Vince, just like him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, he said to me, he said one of the things, because at the time, this is when Vince was going through his struggles with
the Titans. And I, right.
Well, just Vince and all.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And he said to me, the one thing that I hate the most about what he's dealing with now, he said Vince has been so successful
right.
so long. He said that he had a circle of people around him, the pastor of the church, his mama, and they basically kept him insulated from the church.
He had to deal
with his soul's fucking bad.
Right.
I see that a lot of days to be a lot of these kids nowadays. These parents insulate so much stuff, you reward injuries. Kids come along bringing these and them, but you buy them the latest Jordans.
Yeah.
Or you buy them $300 shirts. You reward the injuries so they never have to follow so much.
Right.
They don't have to deal with them.
Right.
So when they finally deal with it on the social with other their peers, they're not prepared.
Now we're prepared to have it.
I didn't know your dad, but I've met him enough times to know he was a step dude.
Right.
Like I said, by the way, Reggie and Kenny Wayne talk. That their father or whatever significant male figure was in their life had the same profound impact
right.
on them.
Oh, yeah, Paul Sherwood.
It was just certain standards that we just like,
Paul Sherwood.
All the leagues
right here in Southeast Houston.
I played for the Bears, so we probably have to.
You might have ran into him a couple of times.
I have a 12-year-old daughter, and she's always trying to be, you know, everybody's friend.
Right, right.
And, you know, so it, she went to a school where they were just bullying the hell out of her.
Right, right.
You know, I had to go up to the school and, you know, talk to a couple of teachers and principals, you know, to find out, hey, man. Find out, you know, hey, what's going on with this, you know? I talk to my daughter all the time to make sure that she's all right in the press, and I give her, you know, pointers on how to handle bullies, you know?
All right.
So, you know, I don't want my child to feel like she don't have nobody to talk to.
Right.
You know, nobody understands her, nobody likes her, you know, because I don't see you in school with people like you anyway. You know, I don't see you in school with people like you anyway.
Right, so exactly.
You go there to learn.
Exactly.
You know, but you can't let people get on your skin. I mean, I grew up in a household where, hey, man, my grandmother, man, she talked about you pretty bad, man. You had a real thick skin.
Yeah.
She talked about you. She talked about your mama. You know what I'm saying? You sitting there listening, you can't say nothing back. So you had to take this.
Right.
So, you know, when people say stuff to me, you know, and you watch me, sometimes people say to me, I just don't even say nothing to them. But
exactly.
Sometimes I get out. You know, well, how are
you going? Oh, you know how to go now.
Everybody be talking about what do you think you are. I don't care if you look like the defensive man who plays the best of them. It's something about you that you're insecure about, and somebody can tell you about, and you'll know how somebody feels.
Yes,
so, you know, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't understand the bullying. You know, why would I make somebody feel, you know, why, how you don't want to feel?
Let me tell you something about kids, period, man. We know it because we were kids at one time. Kids are cool and brutally honest, period.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, I'm glad you said something about having somebody to talk to, somebody that they can lean on. See, the thing is, as a black community, we have gotten away from the village raising a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you got so many parents don't want nobody to say nothing to their child. Your child's sitting there doing dead wrong, and you don't want me to say nothing to him because that's your baby. Well, I tell you what, you and your baby both pack up and get out of my house. How about that? That's how we're going to handle that. But the thing is, we got to get back to the village to raise a child mentality because these kids have gotten out of hand. And like I said, these parents, you got parents who are parenting out of ignorance. They don't even want to parent themselves. So they show them how to raise their child. These kids being raised by the internet, they've been raised by TV, they've been raised by radio, rap songs, and all. You know, we had all that when we was kids, but we also had reality.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, when we made a friend, we had to go outside and play with him.
Yeah.
I couldn't play with him
just about to say that.
In Nebraska on PlayStation. All my partners lived on my street.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We played hot ball, kickball, any kind of ball we can play amongst each other. And we knew it. We actually knew each other. We knew each other's parents. Our parents knew each other. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, these kids have so much of a disconnect that they really don't understand reality. And when they get out there in the world and reality kick them in their behind, they crumble like a cookie.
Not only that, man, when you get something on the neighborhood, hey, the news beat you home.
But look, I dare you say,
okay, said it better.
Don't let bad news beat
you home. It was all in the wild.
All in the wild, baby. That's where I've been to face.
Well, it was like, I did, well, we saw her last Friday.
Hey,
man, she was letting me, hey, she was living by
business. Yeah.
I can't do what I was telling
y'all
about earlier. Uh-huh.
Right, right.
That was his mom. Oh, she just sit on the porch and just watch everything.
Hey,
before I got to the house, it was, bro, I'm already
she had nothing else to do. She might well.
How many of us, back in the day, it was like a rite of passage on Saturdays, instead of watch Kung Fu Field?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? As soon as it go out, we... You swear we wanted to find the inventor.
Oh, yeah.
That was our socializing. We actually wanted to go out and ride bikes and go make makeshift go-karts and just walk around the neighborhood.
So,
now these kids don't get a hell on a face-to-face. Like you said, so by the time we get to high school, middle school, we've been out socializing and kicking. So
watch around the internet. You're right. Look, let me tell you something. This is a joke. My mother knew that if she wanted to punch me, make me stay in the house.
Right.
So when I got to a certain age, my mom would say, you want to stay in the house, you want to whoop me. I said, y'all whoop me. I said, no whooping. Don't give me a whooping. I'm going back out the door. I am not going to be in this house and everybody else outside playing football. We playing basketball.
One time I got put on punch. Before that year had.
Woo!
They told me not to put my mom on. I
get back to school, that's why I'm about to
pass that.
Yeah. He would say, you were going to be a bad boy.
I'm tired of my mother and my father.
Right. with a different relationship.
With a different relationship. I know when I was 27 years old, I'm going to lay one of these whatever they had to tell me.
Just calm you down. They knew how to reach your spirit.
Just like my wife.
Right.
That's when my dad moved to the
wife. Right.
I was at 1500.
Okay.
And where she stopped me, I'm going back down.
Yeah. There you go.
So, the women in my life say they're the physical, the calm of it.
Right.
My dad, my father, I love them to death, but some of the stuff he taught me, like I was telling them the day, you got sick out. And my mother got sick. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I was born in
prison. Right.
So it's kind of
like
17, 18 year old man.
And they were raising kids. Yeah,
they
kids.
And that's still happening to this
day. Exactly.
I thank God for them.
Right.
My big mom and my friend
took over. Yeah, they feel the gap. They feel the gap. And see, what you're talking about is what I mean by we got to get back to the village raising the kids. Because, like I say, a lot of parents are parenting out of ignorance, so they don't know no better. They babies had the babies. You know what I'm saying? You got so many 17-year-old and 16-year-old mothers now, and you best believe that daddy burned out because he ain't changed. He gone. He going to find him another game. Now, you pregnant, I'm going to find me another game. You know what I'm saying? And end up getting up pregnant, too.
I asked my daughter first when I got sick.
Uh-huh.
So what are you supposed to be doing? Oh, yeah, you know. That ain't number gay.
Is it? Yeah, that's gay. Get you a good poop. You won't even remember him tomorrow.
That's right. You got a new poop real hard.
Poop, make sure you ain't got a wife.
I need
to
with
these ones. Yeah, there
I go back to him.
Look, and the thing about it, get away. Let me tell you something. I used to tell my niece when she was talking to her, talking to my son, right? I tell my niece, I say, y'all act like we was born grown.
Yeah.
We grew up, we did the same. Look, ain't nothing new you doing.
It's the way it's on the
account. The only thing new is the date. That's it. What you did, I used to tell my nephew, man, what you doing? I done that, bro. I thought I perfected, but I didn't. I realized after I got my butt whooped by it or something bad happened to me, I hadn't perfected nothing. I'm trying to keep you from doing it and messing up doing it. You know, I'm giving you the easy.
I saw a video Mike Kelsey did the other day.
Mike Kelsey said, man, I'm at your airport going to do a show. And Mike said, I'm 50 years old. You know, but I like to dress fly. He said, I got on some jeans. You know, y'all going to walk up to me talking about, what you doing with them jeans on, old school? I just said,
we was wearing jeans, I got to tell you what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Y'all ain't been dating just started making sure until the 2010.
You
was wearing jeans even before y'all.
They wear jeans and they never seen George play a real game. Look, never seen him play a game. And then all they ever said was tape and film. A lot of men ain't seen that. They ain't took time to go.
I was saying it the same, like you just said. Ain't nothing y'all doing new under the sun.
Nothing new, baby.
Just the only thing changed was date on the count.
That's it.
My dad said, next to me, he got my dad now. He don't raise his voice. He take the situation he went through and give it to
him. Y'all just ain't give it to you, that is.
Like, certain stuff I had, he let pop the memo right now. Like, my drink. I had got nervous to do that. I talked to him. First thing he said, remember, wrong. I said, yeah. Remember, D? I said, yeah. I was down to smoke the other day.
All
right. He said, I'm going to go out like this. And now he said, you see, I had to do
it. Right.
He said, I'm telling you that,
too. Right, exactly.
I'm calling to say, I keep doing it. Whatever you're going to, you got a whole life to go. You got a
thought. You
know,
right.
Give it to them. You know, you drinking, whatever on your mind, they're going to simplify to make you act, break your ass to them.
Right.
We just supervise some of the stuff I've done, like I said, I grew up with. I've seen some of my stuff. My dad was always been a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
He retired home, man.
though. Right.
He paid the cost to be the boss.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like
he said,
there, he
doesn't trouble
anything.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, look. I said, this is what I'm
talking about.
Hey, man, I don't know about that. Yeah, I need his mind. I feel you, man.
I
ain't tripping.
But then he came back.
But he got in
there, though.
Right.
He got on the wood. He got this pussy, what he said.
Oh, well, y'all have to like, sister Sally over. Come over here.
Well, that ain't Bobby.
Yeah, that ain't Bobby. I'm not calling on the seat
card. Well, man, what you talking about, Kenny, is exactly what I was saying, that, you know, we have to understand that there's always a warning before destruction. You see what I'm saying? The Bible tells you that. And we to get back to the responsibility of warning these kids. You know, tell them, even though, hey, man, let me tell you something. Sometimes you may have to tell it to them 10 times in a row. They don't listen the first 9 times. But the 10th time you say it, it catch hold. And that catching hold can change and shift the entire atmosphere of that young man's or the young woman's life. You know what I'm saying? So we owe it to them as black men in our community to start back taking responsibility our family, first of all, our own households, our families, and then our communities. And that's what was such a big part of what I wanted to do today with you guys. Now, like I said, I want to tell y'all, I appreciate y'all, brother, coming out of the man cave, showed up and showed out today. But this young man right here is, I mean, I know it's corny, they say the children are our future, but this young man here is the future of our community, man. He, one day, he's going to have kids. He's going to have a wife. He's going to have a house, car notes. He's going to, you know, hopefully he's going to have a house, but hopefully he's buying one cash. And car cash. You know what I'm saying? We're going to speak that in his life.
Yeah,
we're going to speak that in his life. But hopefully, you know, good Lord willing, he's going to have all the things that we want him to have. But there are so many kids who didn't have a Saron Ward Sr. as a father. And guide him. So they was all over the place. This young man been just like that, straight down the road, middle of the road, ever since I know him. Always respectable, always well mannered, always on his feet because his daddy didn't accept no bad grades. You see what I'm saying? Daddy didn't play that. You ain't gonna have no disrespect in my house, none of that. Clothes always presentable, looking neat, nice. Yeah, so all of that, I say, is a reflection of who his father is. You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand that some kids don't have the luxury of a Saron Ward scene in their household. They don't even have uncles that will take the time. They're almost too doped up and high and too messed up. Let's just be honest with our community, man. Black men have been running from responsibility since the Garden of Eden, brother. Since Adam said, it's this woman you gave me that made me mess up. You got no responsibility. You don't want God told you, first of all, don't eat that apple. So just because she told you to eat that apple, God told you don't, you going to blame it on her because you ate it? The ultimate responsibility is in us. You see what I'm saying? And we've been running from and that burden and making excuses instead of making plans and making solutions. We make excuses. And we got to stop that. We got to get that in our spirit that I'm not. I'll tell you, man, I hate to give my wife and my kids an excuse, brother. It hurts my heart to give them. So I don't do it. Now, I will say, hold on, give me a minute, let me think about it and try to figure it out. But if you need it done, I'm going to find a way to make it happen. But we got it. That comes with responsibility that you have to be ready to foster and take on. See what I'm saying? And like I said, so many times we just rather come up with an excuse. No. Like Reggie got 3 little kids at home. He can't come up with no excuse. They don't understand why there ain't no bread and sandwiches and stuff on the table. Why I can't go in and make me a sandwich out of the refrigerator? He can't come up with an excuse. But guess what? He do have to come up with a solution. But that makes you grown and makes you responsible for what you have created.
They have to come here.
Exactly. There you go. I like what you said. Them kids didn't have to come here. So since you did what it took to get them here, man, take care of them babies, man. All the way through. You know, not this man 18, his daddy still ain't through raising. You see what I'm saying? Young man, 18 years old, getting ready to go to college. He ain't grown yet. His dad still got some raising to do with him. But the thing is, what's so beautiful about him is because of the way he was raised, he adheres to his father raising them. You know, so many kids are so disrespectful and hate authority that they won't even listen to you try to tell them. And how can a kid learn if he won't even listen?
Excuse me, y'all, bear with me, man. I apologize for you.
Uh-huh.
But I got to burn off, man. They can't find my leash.
Oh, awesome. Oh, well, that's right. We're going to pray, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot on Southfield right now. I'm going to
check my bottom house. That's all right. That's all right. Hey, that's family. That's all right. On
excuse me, all y'all. Listen to myself. Man,
we have a...
I ain't never done this before, man. Like I said, my sister's
song,
man.
That's all right. I love this. All right, that's Reverend KJ, y'all, signing off. Got a family emergency. We got to take care of family first, baby. But, if you have any insight on this, Ron, go ahead. I'd like to hear you, your point of view on the situation.
All right. Well, first off, I want to thank God for everything because without him, nothing is possible.
Amen.
And through him, everything is possible.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So this day was made by him. By all our hearts put together, brotherly love did this. You know what I'm saying? The love of God did this.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, I made a shout out on Facebook, my heart outreach, and my brother, the big brother that's not blood, came to me and was like, "Hey man, I heard you reach out. I want to do something, man, because I see what you're doing." So the love of him and his decision-making, because life is about decision-making, you know what I'm saying? So his decision-making, hey, man, let me and my brothers, who also love him, come help you in your love. So I said, well, shoot, man, yeah, because I need all the help I can use with my love, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Thank God that, you know, my son is good and he listens, you know, and he... Because his decision making made him to be to where we are right now, to where they think is me, and it's
right.
Not me.
Right,
it's
right.
Him and his decision making.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying? So I just want to thank God, thank everybody, you know what I'm saying? JD, especially you, bro. You
that's
know what
right,
I'm
that's
saying?
That's right.
The rated you always been.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Ever since he's been coming, and I thank you. My first time meeting you, Wayne, right?
Kenny Wayne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, bro, let me tell you something, man. Because of the job that I saw you, you know, I've been knowing this young man since he was about 9 or 10 years old. And I saw the work that you put in and the time you spent with your son. And him, you know, influencing him. You know, you may not have known you was influencing, but you were. But... And to be an example that you have been in his life, there's no way in the world I was going to let y'all, when you reach out, I wasn't going to reach back, you know what I'm saying, and not help this young man that I watched grow up and become the young man who he is today. There was no way I was going to, I couldn't sleep, you know what I'm saying? So the first thing out of my mouth was, hey, man, let me get my fellas together, and we're going to come up here and do something for your son and put some, you know, put something in his pocket and reward his hard work.
Right.
See, because the thing about kids is you have to understand that there's two things you have to teach kids. Consequences to their actions.
Yes, sir.
And teach them that we reward good deeds.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? A child without consequences is a dangerous child.
Right.
A child who does good and does not get rewarded for it is another dangerous child. So I wanted to make sure that he understood that because you have done everything that you're supposed to do and you are on the right track, we're going to help you on this track. You ain't on this track by yourself.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? It's easier to show up for a fight if you got 10 people with you than to show up by yourself and don't know, you know, ain't nothing but my skill.
Right.
But you got 10 people with you now. Hey, man, what you got? What you say?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get real bad when you got 10 with you.
Yeah.
And I want him to have that in his spirit while he's at school. Oh, I got a team with me, baby.
Yes.
What? Bring it on. I can have it. And if I can't have it, I can call my boys. And they're going to look out for me. That's how I want him to feel when he in bed. way away from school. When you ain't got, you can't put your eyes on him.
Yes.
I can't put my eyes on him. But that's in his spirit.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And when that's in his spirit, he'll walk in that boldness and that manliness that he's supposed to. And he won't look, he won't even look like a victim.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And people don't pick on people that don't look like victims.
Yes.
If you walk in there with your chest stuck out of your head, he ain't gonna be the win. Don't worry about that. I'll leave him alone.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I want him to feel when he don't care.
Right.
Be the man that you called to be.
Yeah.
You know, like I tell him all the time, we expect great things out of you.
Yes.
But it's most important that you expect great things out of yourself.
Absolutely.
First. See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So what I told him, when you and I gone, he
yeah.
still got to live with himself.
That's right.
And he the last person you want to let down.
That's right.
So that's why we do what we do, man. That's it, man. I mean, there's nothing but love for y'all. Like I told him, you got a bigger family now
yeah.
after the day.
Absolutely.
And all you got to do is call on us, man. We got to
right.
get back to that village to take care of these kids, man.
Right.
But like Reggie just said a minute ago, they didn't ask to come here.
Absolutely.
It's our responsibility.
Yes,
and we got to quit running from it.
That's right.
Well,
you know, I was never one to shy away from helping people, from all the people.
Right, right.
The wrong people. No, it all sometimes a back problem, but it can never stop me.
Yeah, never stop me. God.
You know, I realized what it was like when I was in school. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't
right.
have to be worried about, hey, man, I don't have the money to wash my clothes. You know, I need to get some for this project. I don't have the money to get, you know, some for
right.
my
Right.
You know,
right.
That's
cool.
The stuff that I know when I was in school, that's the stuff that I was worried about. Because I was on scholarship, but scholarship ain't paid for everything.
Everything, right, right,
you know,
right.
My grandfather, you know, he would help me when he could, but he was also trying to take care of the family down here. You know, my dad, he couldn't help. My mom couldn't help. You
right.
Know. You know, I just grew up in a poor situation. Now, I didn't really consider myself poor, but I knew we was poor.
Right, right.
You know, so I always had a roof over my head. I always had food in my mouth and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You don't think of it as being poor.
Right, exactly.
You know, so,
you weren't hungry.
Yeah, and I always had support.
Right, exactly.
And if my mom couldn't feed me, I knew my grandparents could feed me.
Right.
My auntie could feed me. I mean, it was just always that type of thing.
That's what
it's been, you
know. Talking about.
So, you know, that's why when you call me and tell me, I was like, hey, man, I really don't have any money right now. You know what I'm saying? But I can try to do something.
Exactly. Hey, look, this is what he told me. It's no lie. He said, man, you know, my household, we're kind of struggling right now. I really don't have the money to donate, to buy stuff. He said, but you got all my time. You need me to come barbecue, whatever you need me to do. Help you load up, whatever, you know. And he held up to it. He did it. When he said that, Ron, I told him, I said, look here, bro, let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with that. I said, your time is enough for me. I said, the rest of it, God will take care of it. I tell people this all the time. There's two prayers that I pray every morning, Ron. I ask God for discernment, and that's in everything. Now, people don't understand, when you say discernment, that means I want to know who I'm supposed to fool with, who I'm not supposed to, who I'm supposed to let in, who I'm not supposed to let in, how I'm supposed to build myself in business, and all affairs. That's my discernment. And the second thing is supply my daily bread. That's it. And you understand your daily bread is whatever you need that day. Whatever your household needs, that's your daily bread. So I trust God that my day, that's why I don't worry about nothing. I had a whole lot more money and was able to do less with. You see what I'm saying? Because I wasn't following the word of God. But because I follow God's word, I have less money and it looked like I do more with it. See what I'm saying? I'm like, where did that come from? How did that happen? What is bill? How that bill get? Oh, well, we got that. My wife would be like, oh, we got that money over there. I'm like, what? Where did it come from? Oh, and so and so sent that in, and because we did this a month ago, they paid us. I'm like, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah.
But that's God supplying your daily bread.
Right.
God knows exactly what your household needs
right.
in order to prosper. So that's why I tell people so much. You got to stay prayed up. You got to be diligent with it. You can't lack. And I tell people all the time, and I'm going to tell you this, Ron. I want you while you're at school, remember who you are and who you are. And what that means is you are a child of God, the Most High. There is nothing that your Father God can't do for you. When you tough times and ain't nobody there, you can't reach one of us, or your daddy, and you know he's busy, and he can't get to you, you can always get on your knees and pray. You see what I'm saying? Because that opens up doors and blessings pour out that you ain't got room enough to receive. But you just got to be diligent with it and do, you know, be a man of integrity and do what, you know, God's word. Get that Bible, read it. Just as much as you read them school books, you need to read that Bible too, baby. But you got to get in the word and understand the word and meditate and pray on it daily. But that'll get you through a lot of dark times that neither one of us will be here for. But let me tell you something about God. He always been, and he hears you. You know what I'm saying? He hears you. And the thing about it is, the closer you get to him, you'll start hearing him too. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. What you think, Kenny Wayne?
Right on.
Amen.
So, long as you say prayer, try to shine the way to the friend's wife.
Right.
So,
but everybody ain't your friend at school, I promise. You got a lot of kids over type kids.
Yes.
And you want to be able to.
You don't think you look 100 miles away. You're like, man, that's a long I don't think I can do this. But if you start with one step and just keep on stepping, eventually you'll get there. I mean, that's the way I live my life now. I know I'm going to get there, and I try to instill it in my own daughter.
Right. And so many people, like you're saying, don't quit. Because a lot of times we...
It's easy to quit.
That's an easy thing to do. And the thing about quitting is you always had that what if, and you don't want to live your life with what if. And the thing about it is a lot of people quit right before the breakthrough. If you just push a little faster, a little harder, a little more, maybe tomorrow you got up and did the same thing you did the day before, fail, it'll work today. You know what I'm saying? But because you quit, you'll never know. And you, like I said, there are a lot of disappointments that I can look back on and think, man, what if I, and I don't want to see that for you. I tell my wife nowadays, I'm 51 years old, and I tell my wife this all the time, Kenny. I'm going to say to you, because you have a wife too, and home and Reggie, you got one too. I tell my wife this all the time, I say, man, let me tell you something. Whatever is in your imagination, God put on your heart to do it, let's do it. I say, because we want to put this life out. When we get to the end, we don't want to have nothing left. Leave it. Look, the coach, what they used to tell us, leave it out on the field. Yeah. When our coaches say, when you come off the field, I want you almost crawling back to the locker room. That way they know you gave everything you had. You crawl back. Yeah, but that's how you want to live life. If you can't get there walking and you fall to your knees because you're tired, then crawl. You see what I'm saying? Crawl and get there. If you can't crawl, then scoop. But you try, keep going the direction that you have planned for yourself. And you will see that things will become easier and it won't be so hard to get it done no more. And it becomes a habit. You know what I'm saying? Winning becomes, just like losing becomes a habit, winning becomes a habit too, bro.
Yeah, but you got just a learning. You learn from your mistakes, When you lose, you learn. So you won't make that mistake again. I mean, we could have quit today. You were smiling outside. It's raining. It looked like you was going to get no better. But eventually people started popping up. All of me, he said, no.
Yeah.
So, I look at it as a success, hey, man, it's going to look like this.
Let's not worry about it. But I never go to another thing. I want him to hear this word and put it in your spirit. Commitment. You have to commit to whatever your plan is. Let me tell you something. If you go all out for what your plan is, can't nobody stop you, man. A commitment, let me tell you what a commitment is. Somebody says, hey, man, you can't get that done. You say, no, I'm going to do it. I ain't listening to you.
There's going
to
be somebody to tell you.
They call them people haters. Yeah, they ain't got your best interest at heart. And I tell my wife this all the time because she had bouts where she wanted to stop doing what she's been doing. You know what I'm saying? And I say, baby, let me tell you something. And I'm going to tell it to you, too. It is your responsibility to keep your dream alive. You know, there's going to be some days when you wake up, look over there, and guess what your dream is going to be doing? Laying on the floor, gasping for air. But guess what? If your dream is your dream, guess what you're willing to do? Jump down on the floor on your knees and start pumping and doing CPR and reviving your dream. Because you don't want it to die. You refuse to let if you got to pump all night long on the chest and blowing the mind of your dream to make sure it's up in the morning and ready to go, then that's what you're willing to do. And when you got that kind of spirit in you, can't nobody stop you, bro. You are unstoppable. People going to be scared of you because they don't understand. Why you ain't quit? Because I ain't no quitter. That's why I ain't quit. You see what I'm saying?
That's what I got told about.
Uh-huh.
You get mad.
Right, exactly.
Once you made
how you know you can't if you ain't never even tried it? You see what I'm saying? And the thing is, right now, at your age, it's all right to make a mistake because you ain't got no kids to worry about feeding. If you make a mistake, it's just you. See what I'm saying? So you try everything because you never know what's going to be your niche. Your plan is, I want to play basketball. I want to be there. But that might not be God's plan for you. God's plan might be for you to be a great architect and create buildings and make millions off of that. That may be his plan. And, you know, they told me a long time ago, if you ever want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. And watch him laugh. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, really? That ain't what I got for you. You know, because we tend to minimize God. You see what I'm saying? We figure I'm only entitled to this, or I can only do this with my life or whatever. But God said we come to him, he'll be, you know, measured unseen. Okay. And the thing is, you'll end up doing something that you never had in your mind. But God got that plan for you. That's what's going to be your life. So, again, we're here to JD's Man Cave. We're talking to Saron Ward Sr. and Saron Ward Jr., who's on his way to Blinn College, and we were able to bless him today with a monetary scholarship that he's going to be able to take with him to Blinn and help forward his education. And he got a group of men standing behind him now, made his family a little bit bigger. So we want to thank God for the day and the fact that the rain ceased and we were able to bless this young man. So we'll go ahead and sign off right now. This is JD's Man Cave signing off. Big Reggie, I'm going to let you sign off first, bro.
Yeah, this is Big Reggie. You know what I'm saying? I like to say, you know, I appreciate y'all, you know, inviting me into this endeavor because it's something I like to do with filthy.
Right, right.
You know, man, nothing can go wrong when you're doing
this thing. Love the opportunity to help. Amen. Kenny Wayne, it's on you, baby. Our resident country boy.
Kenny Wayne, I had a blast. I'm glad you can come in for us, like, you know, stay strong, stay prayed up. Watch out for the
state. Amen. And again, this is your boy, JD the Barber. And we appreciate y'all tuning in. And we'll see y'all again next week, next Saturday at 7 o'clock. And we look forward to seeing you and hearing the topics that you have for us. Thank you.
Clothes won't make you happy. Money won't make you happy. Power, fame, prestige are good, but truly won't make you happy because they're temporary. And what you want is forever eternal happy. Streets of gold and mansion happy. The day you see Jesus' face at heaven's gates forever happy. See, it's time to find you happy. And let me tell you how. Remember what I say here and now, and know that.